We are going to be looking at the next thing that a hero does. A hero helps. A hero helps. Now, to try and illustrate this real quick, I'm going to get a couple people to help me out. Anytime you offer for Mr. Mike to bring you up front, you are basically saying, Mr. Mike, you can make fun of me in front of everybody, and I'm cool with that, all right? So don't raise your hand if you're going to come up here and get embarrassed and run back to your seat crying, okay? Just don't do that. I'm going to have you come up here and help me. I am going to pick, let's see here. You, sir, come on up here and help me. And why don't you come help me? All right, here we go. I'm going to want you to come stand right here. You, sir, I want you to jump up right there. And I'm going to bring you over here. Okay? And we're going to use you all, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We have, of course, the bad guy. Yep, this is the bad guy. He's evil. He's bad. We have over here the hero right here. Yep, we've got the stance and everything. And then we've got the innocent person, just innocent. The princess, the one that's always getting in trouble. This is her right here. Now, this is what we understand. This is the easy one. We can see in our mind's eye the villain, the bad guy, coming after the innocent person. Don't, like, attack her or something, okay? Just pretend, okay? I'm warning you, all right? I'm not wanting you to, like, jump on her and start, like, jumping on her head and stuff. Don't do that, okay? So just make a fist for me and act like you're about to attack, all right? He's coming after her. So we have the bad guy. We have the innocent person. The hero walking down the street sees what's... What, you gave up already? Did she scare you? You're the villain. You're supposed to be, like, coming at her with it. What'd she do? Give you the eye, and you're like, I'm sorry. All right, there we go. That's better. The hero comes by, and the... This villain is scared of the princess here. This is just not working out for my benefit. Stop laughing at him. It scares him, okay? It's like the only villain. What's his kryptonite? Laughter. No. I didn't know it was longer strong enough. The hero sees that the princess, the innocent person, is about to be attacked, and the hero cares for the innocent person. And so because the hero cares, the hero steps into action, the hero helps. And the hero gets in between. Jump on up there. You're going to be defending. What a villain. He wouldn't even help her up. Shame. So she jumps in and strike me a good hero pose. There we go. I would run away too if somebody did that. I would just be like, okay, I'm done. The hero steps in. The hero cares. The hero helps. And the hero defeats the bad guy. This is easy to see. Because there's a bad guy, there's an innocent person to care about, and there's a hero. This is real easy. I'm going to try and teach you something tonight that's a little harder to see. I want you to go sit down for me, and you go sit down for me. Give them both a good hand. Thank you for helping. I want you to go get somebody you care about, a friend, a counselor that means something to you, somebody you care about, okay? Go get them. Who's it going to be? Gets her preacher. All right, preacher.
This is bad. Make her pick another one.
Yeah, it is not bad, I promise. All right, we are going to switch roles here for just a little bit to make it fit what would actually happen here. It's interesting that you picked your preacher. This is awesome because this happens all the time. Preacher is going to take the role of the hero. You're going to take the role of a church member, what you are. He is the hero, and here's what the preacher will see. The preacher, your friend, somebody that cares about, we're going to use the monkey. Because I have no idea why the monkey's over there. I don't know. He's like the gorilla climbing this Empire State Building over there or something. I don't really know. I didn't know King Kong wore camo, you know, but whatever. We're going to imagine, I'm going to let you decide what this is. This is going to represent or stand in for a sin that is in your life. Something you shouldn't be watching, something you shouldn't be listening to, something you shouldn't be doing. You decide in your own mind to name what this sin is. Preacher, as the pastor, sees in a church member somebody that he loves, somebody that he cares about, doing something that is wrong. Okay, let's walk through what we know already. A hero cares. A hero sees that and he cares about you. He sees this and he knows that this is dangerous for you. What are you going to do? This is somebody you care about. Are you going to talk to him about it? Are you going to say something? A hero cares enough to help. Now, here's what's unique. The hero is not trying to defeat this because he can't, because it's a monkey and it's strong. The gorilla. All right. She has a hold on to this. There's only one person that can defeat that. That's her. But preacher knows it's dangerous, and he looks at it. Am I going to say something? For him to be the hero, he has to defeat something. What he has to defeat is his own fear. Because as he sees somebody he cares about, a friend or a family member, messing around with something dangerous, he's tempted to just turn around and say nothing, to ignore it, because he doesn't want to hurt the person he cares about's feelings. To be the hero, as our preacher is, he comes and stands behind a pulpit and tells us that this is wrong. He faces his own fears. And I could ask preacher, and I know he would say it's true, that there have been times he's preached against things that he knows are in the lives of his church members, and there's some fear there. What if they'll leave my church? What if they won't like me? This is the battle that a hero will have to face when the person they care about is the one they have to deal with. Let's give these both a good hand. Thank you so much for helping me out. You guys can have a seat. She gives me the sin. I tell you what, this is just, I'm supposed to be the preacher up here. This is just not working. We as Christians are given a command. It's easy when we see that there is a villain to attack and an innocent person to save, but when the person we care about is the one that's doing wrong, our friend, we have a command in the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, encourage one another, even as also ye do. We are told to encourage one another. But when I see a friend or someone I care about doing something that I know is wrong, I'm tempted not to say anything. I have to overcome. I have to defeat my fear. The first fear that we face when it comes to encouraging others to do right is the fear of being hated or losing a friend. What if this person I tell that I care about doesn't want to hear it? What if they don't want to listen to what I have to say? When I was in high school, I had a very good friend. His name was Chris. Name still is Chris. Hasn't changed it since he stopped being my friend. He's in Alaska. I'm down here. But when I was in Alaska, he was my best friend. Chris and I had a unique relationship, and that we could say things to each other that nobody else could say. He could encourage me to do things right in the way that only Chris could do. Let me give you an example of this. One day, we went to the same school. his mom and my mom both worked in the school. And so we would show up before school started about a half hour to an hour before the first bell rang. There was like nobody there. The rule was that me and Chris and any other students that showed up early had to stay on the first floor in an open room there. We could do homework, stuff like that. We had to wait there until the first bell rang. Then we could go upstairs to the classrooms. Our moms would get there, take all their stuff upstairs, and get the classrooms ready. We would stay downstairs. So normally, Chris would be over here in his chair, and I'd come over and sit down beside him. And one day, we're sitting there, and we're doing whatever. And Chris looks at me, and he says, "Michael, I need to tell you something." Got that serious tone of voice, you know, he's not goofing off. And I go, "All right, what is it?" And Chris looked at me and said, "You're a jerk." I looked at him, I said, "What?" Like, "You're a jerk." "Thanks." He's like, "No, let me explain. Every morning, your mom comes into the building and she's got like three bags full of books. And you make your mom carry these books all the way upstairs to her classroom by herself. You're a jerk." And I sat there and I stared at him and I'm like, "This is my friend calling me a jerk." And so the bell rings and I go upstairs. My best friend just called me a jerk. What kind of friend is that? Ain't a friend. And I started getting mad. I started getting upset about what he said. And so the next day when school happened, and I get to school, Chris is over there already in his spot, this is what I did. "Call me a jerk. I ain't be your friend anymore. I don't like you anymore. Jerk." I wouldn't sit by him. I wouldn't talk to him. The next day, you know what I did? Same thing. "I ain't talking to you. Call me a jerk if you want to. I ain't be your friend anymore. You ain't my friend." And then as I sat there in my chair, you know what I watched? "No friend." I looked at the staircase and watched my mom as she struggled to carry all three book bags up the stairs. "You can call me a jerk." And the next day I watched my mom carry those book bags up the stairs. "Call me a jerk. I'm not a jerk." And so the next day, when we got there, I took my mom's bags. I said, "Mom, can I help you carry these upstairs?" And I did. And she smiled. And I put the bags downstairs, or upstairs in her classroom. I came downstairs and sat by my best friend, Chris. I looked over at him. He looked over at me and did this. And you know what I said? "Jerk." And we were good from that moment on. You see, Chris was a hero in my life, and he did that with more things with me than just that silly illustration. He encouraged me to do what was right. And to do that, to be a hero in my life, he had to face his fear of me deciding that I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But he cared about me enough to look at me and say, "You're a jerk." Because you know what? He was right. I was a jerk. I wasn't helping my mom. I wasn't showing honor to my mom the way that I should. And he helped me do what the Bible commanded me to do in showing honor to my parents. He faced the fact that I might never come sit by him again. He might lose my friendship. I might hate him, but he cared about me enough to still tell me what I needed to hear. Romans 15 and verse 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." You see, Chris sat down, my best friend looked at me and point blank told me the truth and told me I was being a jerk, and he didn't tell me that because he got any pleasure out of it. He didn't enjoy calling me a jerk. He didn't do it because he was going to get benefit from it. He did it because he knew that I needed to hear it. For even Christ pleased not himself. Here's our hero. Christ himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, to have this same mind of patience and comfort towards others, to edify others, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that I made it through my senior year, a very important year, because of people that were willing to tell me things I did not want to hear. I had a principal that I hated. I couldn't stand the principal. And there's a reason for it. My principal cared about me. My principal knew there were some things I needed to learn. And he was willing to be the bad guy. He was willing to let me hate him so that he could tell me the truth. He learned, as he started getting to know me, he learned that I was doing my best to please God. And he could tell me backwards and forwards and upside down what he wanted me to do, but I could argue with that every day. If he told me what God wanted me to do, I can't argue with that. So every day, I had to walk by his office to get to my classroom. There was no other way to walk. I had to walk by his classroom. I tried to come up with every sneaky way to get by his classroom. He caught me every single day. And every day, I mean, he sat there in his office. He's supposed to have a job to do, but he would sit there just waiting for me to walk by his office. And then I'd come by the office, "Hey, Michael, come in here." "Yes, sir." I'd walk in the office. Sometimes he'd pick up the Bible, and he'd read. "I just wanted to read this for you. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Have a good day." And he'd send me to my classroom. And then sometimes I'd walk by his classroom and say, "Hey, Michael, come in here." "Yes, sir." "Can you read this verse for me?" "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." "Okay, Michael, have a good day." Every single day. The same thing every single day. I hated him. I hated walking by his office. I hated smelling his office. I could smell the candles that he would have burning in his office, and instantly the smell of the candles would remind me of the verse that whatsoever I did, I was to do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. So that when a teacher gave me homework I didn't want to do, I was supposed to do it as unto the Lord and not unto... I hated him. Because I couldn't argue with that. But you know what he was? One of my heroes. Because he was willing to face his own fear that Michael might not like me. You know what? Michael I care about, and I'm willing to help. And he defeated his own fear. When we have a friend or someone we care about that we know needs to hear the truth, they're doing something that we know is wrong, we need to face our own fear of being hated. The next thing that I think we face that stops us more often is we need to face the fear of what they will say or think of me. I hope that this illustration I'm going to try and use, I can use to paint this picture well. I hope it works. When I was in high school, about this same time that Chris was my best friend and he helped me with this issue a lot, when I was in high school, as I entered into my senior year, I was introduced to video games. I didn't play a lot of video games growing up, a few here and there, nothing too major. But I was introduced to how to build your own computer gaming system. One that I could make myself, and I could use this system to play games not just with people that were around me, but people across the world even. And I became addicted to video games. I would spend more time on video games than I should. I would spend more times facing this problem than I should have. It became an addiction for me. As Chris helped me and the Lord directed me, for me, this sounds silly. It sounds crazy. I know there's some people in here that they say a video game, I play for 10 minutes and I'm done. I can play a video game for hours on end and keep going. I was the kind of player that some of you guys know about. You can spend all night staring at that screen, just one more level, just one more level. And the next thing you know, it's morning and it's time to go to school. This was me. I was starting to skip out of work. I was starting to skip out of school, all so that I could play video games for a little bit longer. It was my God. It was what I loved. The Lord worked in my heart, and as crazy as this sounds, for me to surrender to go to Bible college, it wasn't as much surrendering to go to Bible college as it was giving up my video games. That was what held me the most. I gave those video games up, and I came to Bible college, and I had a roommate. And this roommate I had was addicted to video games. That didn't help me very much. And I looked at this roommate that I have. He was my friend. You know what I told him? Nothing. You know what I warned him about? Nothing. Do you know why? Because I was afraid that he would find out that I had a problem with video games. I was afraid that he might find out that I'm not as spiritual as I look. And I have spent my entire life trying to prove to people how good I am. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with excellent parents that took me to church every time the doors were open. It's not that I wasn't a sinner. It's that I learned how to hide my sin. And I have spent an entire lifetime hiding that I have problems. Let me share something with you tonight. Not more than a few months ago, I heard about a game. I had heard some things about this game, and I heard it was a good game. It wasn't a game like I could point at and say, this game is wrong, and there's plenty of those out there. This is a perfectly clean game. It's called Minecraft. I had never played it. You know it. You know it. So I downloaded it onto my phone. I wanted to just see it. I wanted to see what the game was all about. Because in my mind, I'm going, it's basically Legos on a computer. This isn't fun. And so I started the game. And I started building a little cave. Oh, I can put a little fireplace. That's kind of cool. And a door. Oh, look, I can do an elevator. That's nifty. And I kept playing. I'd play 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, nothing big. And then the next day, I played about 15, 20 minutes. Within a week, I was in my office at work playing video games instead of working. You want to know why? Because this preacher has an addiction to video games. I have a problem. I have something in my life that I would not be willing to admit to somebody else. I would see somebody that was struggling with it, a friend that I cared about. They're struggling with something that is wrong, and I know it's wrong, but I'd see it and go, but if I talk to them, they might look at me and say, who are you to talk? You have your own problems. They might not want to be my friend. They might start saying, but wait a second, don't you have a problem with this too? And we're afraid of what this person will say or begin to think of me. The problem that we have is that we're not willing to admit that we have the same problems. When somebody is facing sin, it's easy for us to stand over here with a holier-than-thou approach, I would never do what they're doing, when we know in our heart of hearts that if we were in their shoes, we might be doing the exact same thing. We're afraid of telling our friend that you shouldn't be watching that show because we know what we're watching at home, and they might find out what we're hiding. We're afraid to tell our friend you shouldn't be listening to that kind of music because we know what we listen to when our headphones are on. I'm a church kid. Those of you that are church kids, you've grown up in church, I know because I hid the same things. If I talk with my friends and try and encourage them to do what's right, they might find out that what I'm doing is not right. No, I'm not going to face that. No. I don't care about them enough to face my own fear of somebody finding out what I have done. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I want to try and show you something in this next verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I have applied verse number 2 to my life wrong all the time. I would hear bear one another's burdens. That means that so-and-so had a family member die. I need to bear their burdens. So-and-so is going through a really rough time. Their mom and dad are getting a divorce. I need to help bear their burdens. That's not what this verse is talking about. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, we're talking about friends and family members that are losing a battle with sin. They are overtaken in a fault. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. The burden is their burden of sin that they're fighting with. But I'm not willing to help you with your burden, because if I help you with your burden, you might find out that I'm struggling with my own. Notice what it says. The Bible does not command us to bear someone else's burden for them. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. You know what the problem we have raised you kids? The problem that we have given you kids to deal with is that you are scared to death to tell us about a problem. You have a problem and you know it. You have a sin that you struggle with and you are scared to death to tell anyone about it. Because if I find out that you struggle with this or with that, what am I going to think about you? You're so scared of telling someone. Can I share with you that I have the same problems? Can I share with you that I, as a preacher, struggle with watching the wrong things? I, as a preacher, struggle with listening to things that I shouldn't listen to. I, as a preacher, struggle with doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing. And can I share with you, so do your friends in church, and so does the man of God over there. He fights the same battles that you fight. That's why he stands in the pulpit and he warns you of them. Because he's been through that battle. He's fought that battle. and he cares enough for you to tell you the truth about those battles. Some of you kids in here, I want to encourage you. Maybe you have been walking with the Lord, and you are right now, you could look at me and say, Mr. Mike, I am honestly trying to do what is right. When you see your friend struggling, will you be their hero? I had Chris in my life. Will you be the Chris, that friend in somebody else's life? Will you go to them and say, hey, I see you're struggling with this, and I want to help you because I care about you. I know you might not like to hear this. I know you might not like it, and you might not want to be my friend anymore, but I care enough about you that I will tell you what you need to know because I care enough to help, and I am going to defeat my own fears. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Some of you boys and girls have these people in your lives. They are over you in the Lord. They're your Sunday school teacher. They're your junior church preacher. They're your pastor at your church. They're your youth leader. They're somebody that's in charge of you spiritually, that they are admonishing you in the Lord. May I encourage you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. If you have somebody that is willing to look at you and tell you when you are doing something wrong, you need to esteem them highly in love. I love that our young lady chose her preacher, because there's a man that has stood from her pulpit and admonished her and correct her and told her when she's doing things wrong, and she esteems him highly in love. I appreciate that. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, this is what your leadership is supposed to do. This is what your pastor and what your parents are supposed to do. Warn them that are unruly to warn you when you're doing things wrong. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Boys and girls, you have some heroes in your life. Your parents are willing to look at you and say, no, you're not doing that, because they care. And they're willing to let you hate them for telling you no, because they care enough about you to help. I have children. I understand what your parents go through. I have a sweet little daughter. She's, I think, 4 now, which is just unreal. She is hard to control. Last night, my beautiful bride was able to come, and she brought my daughter Joanna with her. And they sat somewhere right back there. I love my daughter. I love her with all my heart. She doesn't know how to sit still. She has my genes in her, no doubt about it. She is a wiggle bug. Horrible. I thought that my son was bad when he was younger. Oh, he's a little angel. My daughter just doesn't know how to sit still. Now, I love my daughter. Now, we've set up some things in my daughter's life trying to teach her to do what is right, and she doesn't like those things. My daughter loves stuffed animals. Don't know why. That's just her thing. You hand her a stuffed animal, she'll walk around with that. Every morning, she'll come out of her room, and she's like got that sleepy face on. She's just kind of like zombie walking out in the living room. She'll give mom or dad a hug, and then she goes back to her room, picks up a stuffed animal, and walks around the house holding the stuffed animal. She loves her stuffed animals. the punishment that I have created for my daughter is if she will not sit still through a service, I go into her room and take one of her stuffed animals.
Oh, how could I be so cruel?
And the look on her face, the pouty face that comes, because this affects her heart. She lost a stuffed animal. There have been a few times my daughter has looked at me and doesn't give me the pouty face. She gives me the glare. Take my stuffed animal. It's not fair. Do you think as a father I want that? Do you think that's what I want? No. Your parents don't want that with you either. They don't want to make you mad. They don't want to see something that you like and then to go over to you and say, I've got to take it away. My son enjoys listening to radio programs like Patch the Pirate and different things like that, music, kids' songs when he's going to sleep. I found something on his phone that I thought was dangerous. Something on the phone that I put into his room for him to use to pull up the music that we've approved for him. There was the ability for him to find things that were dangerous. And I had to look at my son that I love and say, you can't use it anymore. Do you think he enjoyed that? No. Now, my son did well. He did not get angry with me, and he obeyed very well, and I'm very pleased with him for that. But he could have. And you want to know what I faced a fear as a parent? With my child, I was going to tell my child, this is dangerous. I'm saying no. I'm taking it away. And you want to know what I was afraid of? What if my son gets mad at me? What if my son doesn't like me like he used to because I took away something he likes? Boys and girls, your parents love you. They care enough to look at you and say no, even if you don't like it. They love you that much. And what I want to encourage you to do is to do what 1 Thessalonians in verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love. Let me have heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Maybe you're in here tonight and you honestly can say, Mr. Mike, I am trying to live right. I am working hard at doing what's right. Do you speak up when your friends that you care about are doing what's wrong? Or are you too afraid to face your own fears of what they'll say, about what they'll do to you, about whether they'll be your friends anymore? Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe tonight you're the child that is mad at your parents. They told you no. They told you you could no longer do what you want to do. They told you that you couldn't hang out with that friend anymore. They told you that there is something that you love that they're not going to let you have anymore. You can't dress that way. You can't watch that. You can't listen to that. And you're mad. You're angry with your parents tonight. Maybe you're the child that needs to come and say, God, would you help me to forgive my parents and to thank them for being a hero in my life, for protecting me when I need to be protected?